I want you to notice that this psalm begins in verse 1 by saying, I will bless thy name forever and ever. And then it ends in verse 21, with my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. We're going to be looking at the names that the Lord gave us of himself, and praying that the Lord will be pleased to show us who he is in light of the revelation of his name. Let's read together Psalm 145, verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all they that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, and all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. Will he destroy? My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Let's pray together. Our merciful, gracious, and glorious Heavenly Father, we pray that you would reveal to us this night more of your glory. We ask that you would send your Spirit in power, that you would open the mystery of the gospel to our hearts and reveal to us the glory of Christ. We pray that you would give us faith to rest our hope in him and to find our joy and our salvation in him. Lord, we pray that the love of Christ would cause us to be repentant of our sin, and Lord, that you would reveal more of your goodness, causing us to flee to the Lord Jesus as our righteousness, our Savior, our sin bearer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the many acts of goodness that we enjoy from your hand, and we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us for our cold and presumptuous hearts, that you would revive us this hour in Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Number 168 in the hardback hymnal. We'll sing this a cappella. Please stand together. Lord, I hear of showers of blessing thou art scattering full and free. Showers the thirsty land refreshing, let some drops now fall on me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, O tender Savior, let me love and cling to thee. I am longing for thy favor, whilst thou art calling, O call me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, O mighty Spirit, thou canst make the blind to see. Witnesser of Jesus' merit, speak the word of power to me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Love of God so pure and changeless, blood of Christ so rich and free, grace of God so strong and boundless, magnify them all in me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, thy lost one bringing, bind my heart, O Lord, to thee. While the streams of life are springing, blessing others, O bless me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Please be seated.
Still have your Bibles open to Psalm 145. We'll begin there in verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name, the name of God. Names mean something. Your name means something to you. A good name is rather to be had over silver and gold, the proverb says. And God's name reveals to his people who he is. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth to it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. We know that the Bible is a revelation of God. That's what he's doing. He's making himself known to his people. And there's no clearer revelation of who he is than when he gives us his name. And his name is holy. When our Lord taught us to pray, he said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. Lord, it's an exalted name. It's a name that reveals your glory, your person, your character. And when we pray our Father. You know, I used to think about that. The Lord Jesus referred to his Father as my Father. But then when he spoke to the disciples, he said, tell the disciples that I go to my Father and to your Father. And when he taught us to pray, it was our Father. And that's not just because of our part in the church. It's because of our union with Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ could refer to his Father as my Father. But the only way that God can be our Father is by virtue of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for us, it's always our Father. We would not presume to think that God could be my Father outside of Christ. And so his name is holy. The third commandment that the Lord gave in the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, surely taking the Lord's name in vain involves using it in profanity, but it's more than that, isn't it? Because to take his name in vain means to empty it of its meaning. To speak of the Lord's name and deny his ability to save without man's participation or contribution is to use the name of the Lord in vain. To be irreverent with our Lord's name. You know, people throw around the name of our Lord as Jesus without any regard to him being Lord or God. And I fear that, you know, we run the risk of being irreverent if we don't speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God. And so we always want to use his name in the most reverent way. To use his name in any other way is to empty it of its meaning. And when we do that, then we have nothing that draw us to him. The righteous hear his name and they run to it. So I hope tonight that the Lord will cause us to reverence him, to extol him, and to be drawn to him in light of who he is. We started Sunday morning looking at the Jehovahs that are mentioned in the Old Testament, and these names involve the character of God, the nature of God. And so they are true of God the Father, they are true of God the Son, and they are true of God the Holy Spirit. And when our Lord reveals himself by his name, he takes that word Jehovah and he says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. And so our Lord takes the name of God that was given to us throughout these Old Testament passages and takes it to himself. And his enemies wanted to stone him. And he said, for what good works do you stone me? He said, not for your good works, but because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. You've taken the name of God unto yourself. And that's blasphemy. Well, if he wasn't God, it would be. But the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to us all throughout scriptures, and he gives us so many different names of himself. And as I said, names in the Bible, some people don't even know what their names mean. Names don't mean much to us today. And yet your name is precious to you, isn't it? They say that the one word a person wants to hear more than anything else is their name. The one thing that gets your attention more than anything else is when someone speaks your name. And how important that is to us. It's who we are. It's not just representing a body. It's our person. It's our character. It's our life. It's attached to that name. And I love it when, you remember when Elimelech in the book of Ruth took his wife Naomi to Moab, and in Moab Elimelech died and her two sons died, and she came back different than she was when she left. And her friend saw her and said, "Is this Naomi?" And Naomi said, "Oh, don't call me Naomi." Naomi meant one that was delighted in. She was now Mara. She said, "Because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me, my name is Mara." And she was to recover that name, Naomi, when Ruth was redeemed and Naomi was returned back to her place. But you see in that where her name didn't fit her situation, and so she changed her name. And oftentimes God changed men's names. Saul, translated, means one to be desired. And, you know, King Saul was head and shoulders over all the Israelites. And they saw him, and they saw his kingly stature, and they said, "This is going to be our king." And Saul confesses in his testimony that he said, "I excelled above my peers, and I was one to be desired until the Lord put me in my place and changed my name to Little." From one who was head and shoulders above all my peers, one that was proud and self-righteous, and one who was the envy of man, now I'm a little man before God. I've been humbled in his presence. Names represent, particularly in the Bible, and no place does it do that more truly than when it comes to God's name. You know, I've never met anybody by the name of Judas. I've never met anybody by the name of Jezebel. Why? Because those names are attached to a character that no one wants anything to do with. And so this is the importance of names, is all I'm trying to say. And when we see God in light of his name, he's revealing his character to us, his person to us. And when he speaks that to our hearts, then he causes us to run to his name. And he does it for his name's sake. How many times we see in the scriptures that I didn't do this because you were greater in number than other nations, but I did it for my name's sake. I signed a covenant back there in eternity. My name's on that contract. And my name, because it's holy and because it means something, because it's got to be maintained and it's in its perfection, I'm going to fulfill this covenant. And I will be your God and you will be my people. I'm going to fulfill the covenant on both sides. I'm not going to depend on you to do your part in order for me to fulfill this covenant of grace. I'm going to provide everything that you need, including a new nature, a new heart, a desire to follow after me. And my name's on the line. And so when the Lord, 8 times in the Old Testament, the Lord gives us his Hebrew name. We looked at two of them Sunday. Jehovah Jireh is the name that Moses referred to the Lord as in Genesis chapter 22. And that name means the Lord sees and provides. Isn't that glorious? Our God sees. He sees everything. He sees all our needs. He sees our fears, he sees our troubles, he sees our sin, and he provides. He provides for us. He provides a sacrifice to atone for our sins and put them away. And he provides his spirit, and he provides his love and his mercy to carry us. And to he sees and he provides. Well, that causes me to want to run to him, to know that, you know, we get this idea that, you know, we're going to hide something from, we're not going to hide anything from God. He sees everything. And he saw Abraham and Isaac on that mountain, and he provided a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, caught in a thicket by its horns behind Abraham. And the Lord provides himself. He told Abraham, I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. It's not just that he provides in our circumstances a way out. He provides himself as that way out. He provides himself to as our comfort and as our hope. And so the Lord sees us. He sees us weak. He sees us poor and needy. He sees us afraid. He sees us sinful. And he provides himself to comfort us in our troubles and to give us hope in him. That's Jehovah Jireh. And then Moses, when he was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness and the Amalekites were attacking them from behind. You remember they were picking off the weaklings at the back end, and they were just a trouble to the children of Israel. Well, they continued to be. And it's a picture of our flesh. It's a picture of our sin. And Moses went to battle against the Amalekites, didn't completely defeat them. Matter of fact, the Lord told Moses at the end of the battle, he said, you're going to be fighting these Amalekites the rest of your day. They're not going to go away. And you're going to fight the Amalekites. You fight them every day, don't you? And Moses called that place Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. He's the one. I'm engaged in a warfare, a spiritual warfare, against my flesh and my spirit, against sin, against principalities and powers in darkness. But here's my hope. The Lord Jesus Christ has already defeated the enemy. He's already put away my sin. He's already conquered death and hell. He's already established a righteousness before God. He's seated at the right hand of God as my advocate before the Father. And so he's my banner, Jehovah Nissi. He is my banner. I will follow him in this battle. And if I'm looking to Christ, looking to his obedience, then his strength is made perfect in my weakness. Paul said, the Lord, remember, Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh and he pleaded with the Lord to take it away. You've got a thorn in your flesh, don't you? Sure you do. We all do. It's our sin. It's our unbelief. You know, people try to figure out, well, what was Paul's physical malady that he was referring to as a thorn in his flesh? Don't worry about that. The scripture doesn't say, and when the scripture's silent, we must be silent. We can't speculate on that. But we know the spiritual application of it is. What did the Lord say to Paul? My grace is sufficient for you. Paul, you're going to have this Amalekite thorn in your flesh the rest of your life. But my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength is going to be made perfect in your weakness. And your old man's going to serve your new man. And you're going to keep looking to the Lord Jesus Christ as Jehovah Nissi, your banner, the one whom you follow. You don't go into battle on your own, in your own strength and in your own power. You look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing that hymn, Jehovah Tsidkenu, and that comes from Jeremiah chapter 23, where the scripture says that his name shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And then later on, 10 chapters later in Jeremiah chapter 33, and she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And the Lord Jesus Christ, oftentimes when we think of him being our righteousness, we think of his perfect obedience to the law. We think about what he did to save us, fulfilling the law, satisfying the demands of God's holy law, even unto death. But it's more than that. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is our righteousness. It's not just what he did. He didn't just settle a score or settle a debt and pay that debt. He himself is our righteousness before God. It's not just his obedience. It's his person. And it's not just a righteous person, but it's righteousness. It's not just his right. He is our righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is our righteousness before God. And outside of him, we have no righteousness. He has revealed himself. God has made him to be for us our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. And so we're extolling his name. His name is who he is. You know, we get to know a person by their name. You know, I guess it was Juliet that said to Romeo, you know, a rose by any other name is still a rose. Well, you know, that's just Shakespearean. That's not scripture. You change the name of God and you change his character. You've taken his name in vain. We're not to do that. We want to know, Lord, what does your name mean? Who are you? Reveal yourself to me. We just sang that in a hymn, didn't we? Lord, just call us to yourself and make yourself known. And that's what our hope is right now. David said, surely one will say, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. In the Lord, in Christ. He says his righteousness is not a pasted on righteousness. It's not a legal document. It's him. It's who he is. He is righteousness itself. By virtue of our union with him, Scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. And that's the confidence that we have. The confidence in our hope is, Lord, if you're going to judge me based on anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ as all my righteousness before thee, I've got to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is by his perfect obedience, the faith of Jesus. That's one of those verses that I mentioned Sunday. There's six of them in the New Testament. The faith of Jesus Christ. Not my faith in him. Although we do have faith in him, but it's his faithfulness. He is our faithful advocate, our righteous advocate before the Father. And so he reveals himself to us as the Lord. Jehovah, I am your righteousness. Oh, there's our hope. There's our hope. We've got a man, the God-man. There's one man between God and men, the Lord Jesus Christ, our substitute, our sin-bearer, our surety. What is a surety? A surety is one who provides everything needed to pay a debt. And to meet the requirements. And that's who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So we extol his name. Lord, we don't want to use your name in vain. We don't want to speak. And yet there is a certain degree of vanity every time we speak of him. Because we can't. Well, I love what our text says. And I brought this out Sunday. Let's look at it again. Look at verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Lord, we don't want to speak your name in vain. We don't want to empty it of its meaning. And yet, every time we speak of you, we realize we're dealing with something here that's unsearchable. We can't honor you as we ought. We can't extol you as you ought to be. We can't praise you in the way you should be. Lord, you're unsearchable. Would you just be pleased to reveal a little bit more of your glory to my heart? A little bit more of who you are by your name? Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Tsidkenu. Lord, this is who you are. You're the one who sees my need. You're the one that provides. You're my banner in this constant warfare. You're my commander in chief. You're the one that goes before me. You're the one that's already defeated the enemy. So I know that in you, I'm more than conquerors. More than conquerors. And it's what it is to overcome this world is to get out of this world alive, to get out of this world in Christ, to be found in him. It's not to walk in a certain, spiritual cloud above the things of this world. Lord, I'm way too bound up in the things of this world, way too attracted to them, way too caught up in them, way too influenced by them. But if you'll be my banner, then I'll be a conqueror, and I'll be an overcomer for your name's sake, because this is who you are. Lord, you'll get all the glory for it. It's not that anything I've done. You're going to have to keep me and lead me. In Judges chapter 6, the Lord gives us another name of himself, and it's a name that you already know, but you remember the story of Gideon? The scripture says the Midianites were terrorizing the Israelites so that they were living in caves. They were hiding out from the Midianites because every time they would get together in a town, the Midianites would come in and kill them and rob from them. And so they were all divided up and hiding out in caves. And a man by the name of Gideon was threshing his wheat. The scripture says behind the wine press, he was hiding so that the Midianites wouldn't see him and come take his wheat away from him. And the Lord comes up to Gideon, and here's what he says: the Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor. And Gideon looks around and thinks, surely he's not talking to me. I'm the least of the children of Israel. I'm the least in my household is what he says. My family's nobody and I'm nobody in my family. You're calling me a mighty man of valor? The Lord said, I'm going to use you and I'm going to show forth my glory. And we're going to defeat the Midianites. And remember, Gideon chose 300 men. Well, God picked out 300 men, and Gideon divided those men up into three groups. This is all in Judges chapter 7. And he takes 100 groups of men and has them have them put a torch in a jar and had a sword and a trumpet. They all had a trumpet, they all had a sword, they all had a torch. And at a certain time, they were to blow the trumpet, which is the preaching of the gospel. They were to break the jar, which is the showing of our, we've got this treasure in earthen vessel. And the light shines forth only when the flesh is broken. And they all hollered. And you know what happened? The Midianites killed each other. They got so scared, they turned on one another and they killed each other. And the scripture says, and for the next 40 years, Gideon judged Israel, and Gideon called that place Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. And before that battle with the, before that, that destruction of the Midianites in chapter 7, in chapter 6, the Lord comes. Gideon realizes it's the Lord, and he says, let me bring a sacrifice. And so Gideon kills a kid and brings the meat and brings the bread and brings the water. And God said, put it on that rock right there. And the angel of the Lord took a staff and touched it. And fire consumed that sacrifice on the rock. What a picture of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's our rock. He's the rock of ages. He's the rock on which the church is built, on which our lives are built. He's the rock that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness from which the water flowed. And the staff is a picture of God's wrath and judgment and the fire that came down on Calvary's cross. That's what that's all a picture of. And that's when Gideon said, Jehovah Shalom. We will have peace with God only through the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ has made of himself. He's the Prince of Peace, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't make peace with God. We can't be sorry enough for our sins. We can't make a sacrifice that's going to satisfy God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that could do that. And so we look to Him as Jehovah Shalom, as our peace. And the only way that we can have rest and peace and forgiveness of sin and union with Christ and the hope of eternal life is because of what the Lord Jesus did on Calvary's cross when He consumed the fire of God's wrath and made Himself a sacrifice for sin, put our sins away once and for all. So He calls Himself Jehovah Shalom. All of these names just tell us more and more of who He is and His glorious person. In Ezekiel chapter 37, after the valley of dry bones, the Lord reveals Himself to the prophet as Jehovah Shammah. And that translated means the Lord is here. And He was talking about the city of Jerusalem when God said this is the whole house of Israel. And then in chapter 38, He gives promises to the prophet as to how He will provide for His people in that holy city, Jerusalem. And He says, Jehovah Shammah. He said, I will be here. and there's our hope. There I am in the midst of them, where two or three are gathered together in My name. There I am. We come here, every time we come here, our hope is that the Lord will be pleased to show forth His glory and receive our worship and reveal more of His person to our hearts. That's our hope. And the reason for us to be able to hope that is because He's promised to be Jehovah Shammah. He's promised to be here. If I be lifted up, that's what we try to do every time we come together, is lift up Christ with our singing, with our prayers, with our preaching. I will draw all men unto Me. There I am in the midst of you. We pray, Lord, bow down the heavens and come down. Rend the heavens and come down. Visit us. Reveal Yourself to us. My greatest fear is that the Lord would leave us to ourselves. My greatest fear is that He would write Ichabod, the glory of the Lord has departed, and we wouldn't know it. That we would become so lukewarm, we would become so much like the Laodiceans, that the Lord would depart from our presence. Every church has gone down that road, and they don't know it. The Lord departs from them, and they just keep doing the same old thing. And they don't know that the Lord's left. They've grown cold and indifferent. That's my greatest fear. Lord, be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is here. He's present. Lord, show forth Your glory. Convict us. You know, I think, Brian, you were saying the other day when we were talking about the message, and he said, you know, I was convicted, I was encouraged, I was admonished, and that's what the Scriptures did. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the presence of God. Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I was taught, I was instructed, I was corrected, I was admonished, I was encouraged. My faith was, and I saw Christ. I saw that's the evidence of Him being here. That's the evidence. Faith and repentance is the evidence. And those are two sides to the same act. The act of coming to Christ is evidenced by faith and repentance. Lord, you've changed my mind. I was so caught up in worldly things and in my fears and in my sin and my unbelief. And Lord, you've given me hope in Christ again, and you've changed my mind once again. And that's a daily need, isn't it? That's not a one-time experience. We have to be saved from the temporal consequences of our sin as much as we have to be saved from the eternal consequences. We look to the work of Christ on the cross to put away our sin that we might stand accepted in the presence of God. But this problem we have with sin is a daily thing, and we never grow beyond, Lord, save me. Save me again and again and again. Save me from myself. Save me from my sin. If he does, it'll be because he's pleased to make himself known when we gather together for worship. Jehovah Shema. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. And in the Hebrew, it is Jehovah Raha. He's my shepherd. I shall not be in want of anything. I'm a dumb, dirty, dependent sheep. And I'm looking to the shepherd to feed me, to keep me, to clean me, to provide for me, to come fetch me when I stray from the flock, to protect me against the wolves. Lord, I need a shepherd. And believers rejoice in having the Lord as their shepherd. Jehovah Raha. Turn with me to Psalm 80. Psalm 80. I will extol thee and bless thy name forever and ever. This is who he is. He's revealing himself to us by these different names that he takes of himself. Just like we would talk about an individual and use their name and say, well, this is what they're like. Psalm 80, look at verse 1 of Psalm 80, and this is Jehovah Raha. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadeth Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. God told Aaron, he said, you take the lamb, slay it, shed its blood, and take that blood into the holies of holies and put it on the mercy seat. The mercy seat, and there I will meet with you. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he died on Calvary's cross. He took his blood and he put it on the mercy seat. The scripture says, not one that was built with the hands of men, but the mercy seat in heaven. He put his blood there. And God saw the blood, and God said, I'm satisfied. And I'll pass by them, and I'll hide them under the shadow of my wings. Those cherubim's wings, they touched together in the middle of the mercy seat. There was no part of the mercy seat that wasn't underneath the shadow of those wings. And that's what the Lord says about his people. I'm gonna meet with you. I'm the shepherd. I'm going to provide for you in every way, everything you need. You're there in Psalm 80. Turn over just a few pages to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Look at verse 1. Bless the Lord. That's what we're trying to do right now. Just bless him. Just extol him and praise him and lift him up for who he is. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This isn't something we just do with our mind or with our body. It's something we do with our soul. This is something God has to do in our soul, isn't it? And so he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. His name. This is his name. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Shalom. These are his names whereby he reveals himself. Look at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The different names that he gives us shows us a little different part of his benefits. And then look at the next verse. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And that's the disease that we need to be healed from. The leprosy of our sin. That disease that will be terminal to the soul if we don't have the Lord Jesus Christ to stand in our stead and heal us. We pray fervently that the Lord will heal our bodies. But the greater need that we have is that by his stripes, Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. Lord, I need faith to look to the Lord Jesus Christ as the one and only one who's able to heal me of my sin. And then there's one more. There's 8 of these in the Old Testament. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 31. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce this one. You can look it up if you want. It's a long Hebrew word. But look what the Lord says in Exodus chapter 31 at verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. Now, how do we keep the Sabbath? How do we keep the Sabbath? By looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for all our rest. He's the one who finished the work before the foundation of the world. That's we rest in his. If we put our hand to the altar, if we try to hew the stones, if we pick up sticks on the Sabbath day, if we add anything to the finished work and glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are violating the Sabbath. And most people who try to keep Sunday or Saturday as the Sabbath by putting rules and regulations as to what you can do and can't do on those days are in fact violating the Sabbath in their attempt to keep it. That's all Sabbatarianism is. It's a violation of the Sabbath. And we rejoice in being able to gather together on Sunday and being able to rest on the Lord's day and be able to come together and worship. But, you know, Christ is our Sabbath. And so we keep the Sabbath when we're looking in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verily, my Sabbath you shall keep. You do keep the Sabbath. For it is a sign between me and you. This is the fourth commandment. It's the only commandment in the Ten Commandments that's referred to as a sign. It's a sign. That Old Testament Sabbath keeping was a sign. It pointed to the fulfilling of the Sabbath in the Lord Jesus Christ. It shall be a sign unto you between me and you throughout your generation, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Now, like I said, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that word, but it's Jehovah and then the word sanctifieth. And here's who he is. He's the one who makes us holy. We can't be, you know, he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all as one, so that he's not ashamed to call them his brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he went before God Almighty and took with him the names of those whom he lived and died for, he made us holy in the presence of God by his very person. The Lord who sanctifieth you. We can't sanctify ourselves. Matter of fact, let me show you one other place where this word is used. Look with me to Leviticus chapter 20. Look at Leviticus chapter 20 and be reminded that what God requires God must provide. So look at Leviticus chapter 20 at verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Well, don't stop there. Look at the next verse. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to make you holy. I'm going to sanctify you. So we look to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who not only makes us acceptable in the presence of God, but actually makes us holy, makes us as holy as he is. I will extol the name of the Lord. All these names that he gives us of himself. And these are the names that the Lord Jesus took to himself when he said, I am the bread of life. He that believeth in me shall never hunger. We don't hunger for anything outside of Christ, not from our faith, not for our salvation. Now, we may lust after things of this world, but we hunger and thirst after righteousness, after the Lord Jesus Christ. He that cometh to me shall never, I'm that bread, the bread that came down from heaven. Jehovah, the bread. And then he went on to say, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall never be in darkness. You know, we have a lot of cloudy days and we have dark moments, but the Lord always brings us back to the light, doesn't he? He always brings us back to Christ, who is the light of God. And this light shines down from heaven and reveals to us his glory, gives us hope in who he is. And then in John chapter 8, verse 58, they said, you're not yet 50 years old. How can you talk about Abraham, you know, in Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Oh, and Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He said, if you were the children of Abraham, you'd believe me. Abraham believed me. But they didn't. He said, you're of your father, the devil, because you don't believe me. I am that glorious Jehovah that revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush and spoke to the children of Israel all throughout the scriptures, who makes himself known in every situation. That's who I am. I am he. I'm the door to the sheepfold. The robbers and the thieves come in some other way. You're going to get into the sheep, into God's sheepfold. You're going to have to come through one door. Just like the 12 gates of heaven that John saw in the New Jerusalem, they were all of one pearl. There's only one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. I'm the good shepherd. So the Lord Jesus takes all these Jehovahs from the Old Testament and applies them to himself. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? It's not just a doctrine, Martha. You said you believe in the doctrine of the resurrection, but do you believe that I am the resurrection? I'm the true vine. My Father's the husbandman, and he prunes the vine that it might produce fruit. The branch that abides in the vine will live. Our Lord makes himself known by his names. There are many, many more of them. But those are the Jehovahs and the ones that the Lord took to himself, particularly in the book of John. Let's close by reading this. These two verses again, Psalm 145, verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. And then look at verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord, we pray that you would show forth your glory by the revelation you've made of yourself in your names. Forgive us of our sin and unbelief. Lead us, keep us, save us for your name's sake. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. 272. Let's stand together. Number 272.